Well, we tried to talk about tribulation yesterday, and we didn't get to it. Because tribulation is very much related to this whole world that we've been studying called temptation. The word is for tribulation, sometimes it's most of the time it's translated tribulation. Sometimes it's translated affliction, and sometimes it's translated as trouble. And we'll go through those in a minute, but it's the word philispus, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. And I just love to say that word, philispus. I can't say it right now. Philispus. But it's an interesting word because if you had to describe winemaking, from the picking of the grapes, going through the stomping, pouring into the seven lees, or the seven vats, and then the word that would describe that entire process is philispus. Squeeze tightly, then purify, and dregs go to the bottom, and the other stuff falls to the top, goes to the top. And you finally end up with wine that's suitable for the temple. And that's really what this word, every time we see it, tribulation or affliction, it's that word that's why it's so vital to the mystery of God. Because it describes the process of making wine. So let's start. We'll go in order. Matthew 13, first. This is when Jesus is answering the disciples' question about the parable of the seed or the sower. So start in verse 18. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Excuse me. But he that receives seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word and soon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. So that means the offense here is that he is no longer any value to the process of creating the bride or the wine. Now, I find that fascinating. So when persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. And we've seen that a few times. Anybody have any response to that? All right, let's go to Matthew.
Just the mere act of being offended, it's like they just stop in the middle of the street there in a way, just because he's offended.
Matthew 24. I'm very hot.
I'm comfortable.
Well, I've got a sweater on, but I don't feel like taking it off because I'll probably be cold.
It should cut off in a second. It's 69 and it said 68. It should cut off right.
Matthew 24. Excuse me. Matthew 24, it describes this, the destruction of the temple and the massive persecution of the Jews and the Christians in AD 70. all the Christians were warned by the Holy Spirit to leave Jerusalem just before the siege started. And for the most part, they all went to Antioch. And Antioch became the Jerusalem of Christianity. So a lot of people totally misunderstand this. They take this as something to happen in the future. But it describes the thing that happened to the destruction of the temple. Okay? So let's just because let's start in verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor will ever be. Let's stop there. This is again the tribulation. Now, it doesn't mean it couldn't happen again, but this primarily describes that destruction in AD 70 and the warning to leave. All right? What?
I'm not sure I get it. AD 70, the destruction of the temple?
The temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. That's when Nero. In 64, the city burned, and he got really ticked off at the Christians and the Jews, and so he ordered the destruction of the temple. You knew about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so everybody, the Jews stayed. The Christians were warned to leave, and so they went to Antioch, and they weren't destroyed in that incredible massacre that took place in Rome.
In
Jerusalem, yeah.
So the tribulation was for everybody. Jews were killed.
Oh, you imagine the thousands. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Mark. Are we in Mark? No, we're in Matthew. Let's go to Mark 13. Well, this is the same thing as we just read, so we don't have to read that. Let's go to Mark 4. Well, this is the same thing we just read in Matthew 2 about the parable of the seeds. So, let's go to John 16. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now that's the guarantee. In him you shall have tribulation. In the world you shall have tribulation. In him there is peace, because he has overcome the world. If you're in him, then as he is in the world, so are you. So no matter what condition you're in, you can always be in peace, because he is peace. Amen? All right, let's start in Acts 14, I think. I take terrible notes sometimes.
Acts
14. First Acts 11. No, I said first 14, but we're going to first Acts 11. Right. Then we'll go to Acts 14.
Every time I make a cross out here, I just put all this screwed up again.
All right, that's good. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is where Peter was rebuked by Paul and the other Christians for adding some of the Jewish law into Christianity. And then starting verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? When they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now that was a huge deal for the Jewish Christians to say that, because before, to be a Gentile meant you were in outer darkness, and outer darkness just meant you were incapable of being saved. So this was a huge deal. If this hadn't happened, we couldn't be here. But that's now in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, here, the word, the persecution, is this tribulation, Philippus. Okay? Now go to Acts 14. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That has never changed. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? Okay, now Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Now, you can't get there without tribulation. Tribulation, what does it do? Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, that means you wait on God. Patience worketh, it says here experience, but it means tested integrity. Nothing about you becomes untested. That's what the word perfect means. That's how you're perfect before God, because nothing take you away from the mercy seat. Your mind has been transfigured. You have been transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind means it is constantly empty. So repentance is the way of to emptiness. All right. Romans 8. I don't feel like talking anymore, so we'll quit when we finish this one. Start in verse 28. Now let these words sink in and become part of you, so that you don't, the word is made flesh in you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, past tense, he also did predestinate, past tense, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ, excuse me? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, persecution, or nakedness, or sword, or peril? So what does all this mean? It means there's no condition that you can possibly be in that he hasn't manifested to perfect you by his one offering. But the mind has to agree with that. He's done everything. There's nothing for us to do. Except just see the stupidity of light, the emptiness of all effort. You see what has already been accomplished. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. Amen?
Amen.
So that's Tribulation 101. We'll get to 102 when we next meet. Anybody else? Anybody understand?
Yeah.
It's necessary for the grapes to be turned into wine, for us to be smashed so that we lose our individualized identity. We lose the consciousness of self. Unless you're really stupid.
Let's think about the emotional content of this, where tribulation is the destruction of all the things that you find important. And in the grape, it's like you're crushed from the outside in. It's like you're just not the same after that.
Well, you're not.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
There's no more you. You've been swallowed up in the mystery.
Yeah.
And that process or that activity has to be manifested in us. That's why there is community. Without community, then this, you can deceive yourself all day long.
Yeah, so I guess the question to me is there resistance? I mean, when you're getting crushed,
is there resistance?
You can resist if you want to, I suppose, but when you're getting crushed, you're getting crushed.
Well, resistance is what you do is you run away. The almost disciple.
To escape the tribulation.
Well, escape something.
I mean, that's talked about in here.
All right. We'll continue on Philippus when we meet again. Take it, big guy.